Eastern. It is truly intelligent media for the politically aware.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Many years from now, would you be willing to trade all the days from this day to that for one chance, just one chance, to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom?
The future is uncertain. I know this. Death is inevitable. I know this. But one thing is certain, as free men, it is our right to live unencumbered and in peace. And those times are quickly drawing to an end. And in these times, peace is certainly an illusion. And as the chains grow tighter, our ability to slip those chains increase incrementally with every passing moment. Inaction is no longer an option. It's time to raise our voices like a cacophony of thunder and lightning and tell the masters no more. And this is Nighthawk, and I say, for myself, no more. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, because the freedom is slipping away.
All right, thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
Me, welcome to the resistance.
Thank you. Hello and welcome to A Revolution Radio, the number one listener and subscribe radio station in the world. I am live with Vinny Eastwood, and Greg Fernandez will be joining us later, author of Gray Stage, all about David Crowley, and sums up exactly what's going on right now. Vinny, am I coming through okay? Let's get a sound check.
You are coming through okay. However, we can't see you because the studio is sharing the screen there playing the video. Or is that you sharing screen?
There we go. And we are good. Good looking.
There you go.
Always getting each other's back. Very important to do that at the start. Sometimes you can go 15, 20 minutes and yeah, stuff happens. So Vinny, man, long time no see. I had Max on about a week ago. Same old Max, the same old Max that we've gotten to know and love. I see that you are being censored like crazy. You're getting bombed on your stations, as myself. I've lost three in the last 3 months. It's almost at this point that you can almost tell who's telling the truth on YouTube now by if they have any strikes. You know, if you don't get a strike, you know, you're probably not telling a lot of truth. That being said, you know, that's a generalization, but in general, you can kind of go with that. Anyway, Vinny, what's going on? I've been following you. Protests going on in Australia. Lots of Billy Tekahana.
New Zealand, Billy Tekahika. But yes, close enough.
Damn it, Kyle! Right? Over there on that side of the planet where you're like 17, 20 hours ahead on that side. But I know New Zealand is very different than...
It's the hemisphere of the planet.
Right. It's over there. Over yonder. you do this. This is your job. So having your station taken down, being demonetized and... were you ever able to have people give you money through the chat, the super chat? Did you?
The super chat was giving us nearly $1,000 New Zealand a month. Patreon was nearly giving us $1,000 New Zealand a month. 2019 got demonetized on one channel, got demonetized on the other. Bam, bam, gone. And then this year, Patreon just deleted with no warning. No strikes, nothing. He's just page removed. Didn't even send me an email to tell me. I found out on my own.
It's gone. Kind of like many of the people in my home state of Michigan with our evil overlord, Hitler Whitmer here, ruling like the tyrant that she is, trying to get through to unemployment. Suddenly they can't get through anymore. Suddenly their whole screen is gone and they can't log in again. There's people, believe it or not, many that have waited almost a year and haven't gotten a dime of unemployment. They're taking care of us over here. So it's kind of sounds like the same thing. They're just getting rid of your sources of income. Next, you're going to have a vaccine to broadcast online. That's how silly it is.
Yeah.
My God, what? Go ahead.
Well, let's face it. It's been signposted for years that Michigan's just not the place for human beings to live anymore. Yeah. You know, it's just very bleak and there's no opportunities. There's nothing
it's
to
a
do.
State, though. You know, it does, if you can get...
precisely, and that's why they want all the of city. You people out of there so that they can use it for their, you know, hunting trips and so forth when they release children into the wilderness with tracking bracelets to be later. you get the idea.
Michigan is very important because we have a quarter of the world's freshwater supply in the Great Lakes surrounding us. So Michigan is a very important place right now. So it might actually be a good place to live.
Yeah. Well, or a good place to target if you happen to be
or a good place to die. But I digressed.
Monopolize that water, as is happening in Australia and various other countries, including here in New Zealand, where I'm waters being monopolized by the Chinese, of all things. So, yeah, it's been a tough road for a lot of people, actually, dealing with censorship and this kind of thing. It's like walking into a city that is empty, except for 100 snipers that could be in any building. All right, you know, you could say anything at any point and just get your strike and have your life's work taken out, you know, like a headshot, bam, and your life's work is done. And so at the moment, I'm broadcasting on my backup channel, which is Vinny Eastwood. So if you are watching this, ladies and gentlemen, you need to go to my backup channel, youtube.com/C/Vinny Eastwood. That's Vinny with a Y, because that's the most important question. And Eastwood, like, go ahead, make my news. And in addition to that, the secondary backup channel, because we've already gotten flags on the first backup channel, is American Freedom Radio TV. It's American Freedom Radio TV. So if you subscribe to those two backup channels, you'll still be able to see the Vinny Eastwood content, even if we keep getting censored, as I know we probably will. But in the meantime, the main channel there, I'm just doing my MMA fighting and little baby videos at the moment. You know, nice balance.
Hold on, let's hold up there. First of all, I stole my son's channel. That's my backup channel. Because you have to have a certain amount of people to even be able to stream live. So, with his permission, I didn't steal it. But, MMA fighting, I saw. So, I was in the middle of doing a whole bunch of things, multitasking as we do. And I saw that it was something to do with you going to an MMA gym. And I did not have a chance to watch it. Tell me about that. You knew I'd be interested in that.
Well, my show gets me in touch with many different and interesting people. One of them was Steve Oliver. He's the son of Don Oliver, who carried the flag for New Zealand to 3 Commonwealth Games. And he's trained with some of the best in the world in terms of MMA fighting. And he's got a big gym down there opposite Les Mills, which is another big New Zealand chain gym. And
Les Mills was from New Zealand? Is that right? Yeah.
And so Oliver MMA is just opposite that. And we go down there, we do our fitness, we do our holds and stuff like that. Just the other week, I got my ankle sprained. Big guy just coming straight up over the top of me. So my foot was planted flat, and my entire body weight and his entire body weight, and we were both very big dudes, went right on my ankle as I was falling backwards. So that was pretty painful.
Good time.
But 2 days later, I was back in the gym to do the next one. And just basically hobbled around the floor on my sprained ankle with a little elastic strap, you know. So it's like pain has to become your friend, and you have to train while you're tired, especially train when you don't want to.
Sprained ankles suck, though. You know, it very humbling. When I worked at a jiu-jitsu gym, it was primarily jiu-jitsu. We brought a boxing program there. So we're the hands. And, of course, they could train with us, the people who worked there, and we could train with them. And it was great because you could learn all kinds of different martial arts. But their main thing was jiu-jitsu. And there was nothing more humbling than going in the first day and getting twisted up like a pretzel in less than 10 seconds. Talk about humbling. I was like, can I use my fists? What the hell? I'm like, you know, my legs here and my, it was anyway. The recovery time for most MMA fighters is 6 months. And that's because of the locks and the joint locks and the different holds they put you in.
I didn't just take up MMA. So, MMA does, 2 nights a week. So got the MMA on the Tuesday, and then I've got my chiropractor on the Wednesday.
Right.
I got my MMA on the Thursday, and I've got my physiotherapist on the Friday. Okay.
But that makes you taking a little bit of a sprained ankle, that's a little extreme, man.
Oh, I took it very easy and I didn't do anything.
No, they just take it easy on you.
Oh yeah, well, it was kind of an accidental thing. Mike, who did it, you know, he was like feeling really bad about it. He was like, And I was like, you better watch yourself in Green Bay, boy.
I mean, stuff happens too. I'm sure he didn't purposely try to sprain your ankle.
Oh, yeah. It's just all good for a laugh and stuff.
That's
like
awesome
that.
You're doing that though. It's you know, it's very gets those endorphins pumping, gets those pleasure hormones going. You start to get into shape. You start to love it. You look forward to it. It's something you can look forward to. And the fact that you're able to do that, be that close up. Did you have to wear masks when you did it?
No. Right. You can't, because the masks just get ripped off your face as soon as somebody's got you.
My apologies for even asking you a silly question like that. But so I'm glad to hear you're doing that, man. And you're digging it. And you can learn some fun stuff, really fun stuff. There was another guy who worked at the gym that I worked at. He was straight freaking from Thailand, could barely speak English. He was probably about 5 feet tall and had legs like that big. Walked up and shook your hand like that, like real light. So when I trained with him, he took me outside and he said, "Okay, Eric, kick the tree." I said, "What?" He goes, "Kick tree." I'm like, what are you talking about? Kick the tree. He walks up, and these Thai boxers, they do it with their shins. So your typical roundhouse kick is a snap. You use the laces. Thai boxers use their shins. Now, your shin is as strong as concrete. So use the right way. It's a formidable weapon. It's like swinging a piece of concrete at somebody. This dude walks up and kicks the tree and kicks it again and kicks it again. So, okay. I walk up and I give it a little tap and I'm like, oh my God, that hurt like hell. Anyway, it's fascinating because the people you meet in the higher echelons who are masters, they're very humble people and they teach you more than just martial arts. They also teach you life lessons. Would you agree?
Yeah. Well, Steve told me that basically if you can't defend yourself, you can't defend your family, right? And that as a man, it's your job to be able to defend your family, all right? Traditionally and today, I was talking to my sister about it, and she says, well, you know, I'm 47 years old, and I haven't had to defend myself in a fight yet. And I said, okay, well, that's great and whatever, but it's better to be a warrior in a garden than a gardener in a war.
Indeed. Indeed. And it's interesting how that energy thing, again, you know, people manifest stuff. People that are in bars constantly, after hours getting belligerent, they're probably going to manifest more fights than somebody who's not looking for them. You know, a lot of, again, people who are a martial artist or boxers or fighters in general, you know, they don't go looking for it and it usually doesn't find them. Isn't that interesting how energy works?
Well, I don't. Let me just get something very clear here as well. I don't want to go and do MMA. All right. I hurt. All right. It's hard. And it's difficult. And I dread going every time, but I'm forcing myself to do it anyway, because otherwise I don't get out of the house. I don't get enough exercise and things are going to be bad for me. I mean,
good on you, brother.
The fact that I get injured and all the time and hurt all the time is just kind of like a byproduct of the consequence. Now, theoretically, if you are a softy like me, who's been sitting on his ass doing broadcasting for 14 odd years, you're going to be injured very easily because your body's not used to taking punishment. But right. If you start giving your body punishment and your body starts to get the impression that, hold on a second, this isn't a once off. This is going to keep happening to me. Right. It starts growing more muscle. It starts growing more around the joints and all of these other things that get damaged. And it becomes even more resistant to more damage, right? And so theoretically, that's what's going to happen, because you were saying, oh, you're going to love it. You're going to look forward to it. You're going to breeze through it. And I'm just like, okay, that hasn't happened yet. I mean,
you're a young buck, right? You're early 30s, right? How old are you, Vinny?
I'm 36 now.
36.
But 36 after 14 years of rest, basically.
Called you a young buck at 36. That's, yeah, anyway. I haven't hit 50 yet. That's all I'm giving you. But when you're doing that, do you do the warm-ups? Like you do the rolls and you do running around the mat and all that? You do the warm-ups too?
Oh,
I mean, the warm-ups
are
difficult enough.
They are. And I mean, when I'm injured, I can't really go too hard in the warm-ups, but when I'm not injured, I go as hard as I can. And yeah, man, I blow myself out many times during just 1 hour of training. And especially at the end when you're actually facing off against somebody, it's like it's twice as hard because you've just gone through 45 minutes of pretty intense exercise, and now you have to fight somebody with everything that you've got left.
Yeah. Understand it completely. Like I said, I was a, you know, running a boxing program there. So they certainly were going to take it easy on me. We didn't take it easy on them when they came in the ring either. So it worked both ways. But it was really important. They did not injure myself or any of the boxers like that, because you're going to need to be able to move around a box. So we were very specific about, you know, being careful with it. They weren't that careful. Who am I kidding? I mean, but at the same time, you know, stuff happens. And the fact you're still doing it and working through it is huge, which that's expected out of somebody like you, a persistent go-getter. So a lot of people would be like, oh, sprain my ankle. Okay, I'm going to have to stay off. Well, I said stay off it for a month, and then you're done.
Well, the week after that happened, just two days ago, in fact, guy gets my arm, and then he flops back, and he's got his legs over my face, and my arm pinched between his legs, and my elbow by his hips, and he just raises his hips and like nearly snaps my elbow off. Right, so I was dealing with that that elbow injury just as little as a day or two ago, and I'm going again tonight. So the thing is, you know, you have to get hard. And the only way to know that you're getting hard is if you keep doing stuff that's really hard to do.
Sure. I'm questioning just slightly. I'm questioning a little bit about the injuries, but that could be due to you or that you're with an inexperienced partner.
Well,
too.
Steve says
you
Steve
shouldn't be coming out with an injury.
Oh, well, we've got an experienced people. And just remember, this is lesson 12 that I've done, and I've only done two injuries. So the way I look at it is I've sprained my ankle. I've very badly bruised my elbow. I'm ascending the MMA ladder. You know, that's how I look at it.
Gotcha. And again, if you are in a real, you know, street situation where you need to defend yourself, who knows what injury you might have. And that's part of working through it, you know, real life consequences. When you're in the ring or the cage, you know, there's just you and him, but there's also a ref. You know, out there, there is no ref. And you see ad nauseum videos, just type in street fight, crazy street fights of people who fall down, and you just see people walking up and just kicking them in the head, and they're unconscious and continuously kicking them. That's sickening to see that. But it happens a lot. Insane. Anyway, I don't know why I went there with that. Oh, because it's just unhonorable. They teach you honor there too. You know, they'll never push it too far, and you can always immediately they immediately stop when they do that. I told them, you know what? If when I do this, with my arms behind my back, and you don't stop, I'm coming back with a gun, because I got to go box. Anywho, what say you?
Well, the thing that's most practiced on me is my mouth, my voice, you know, and so sometimes I'll go, ow, 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 you know, or I yield, and you know, like, oh, bro, it's different. It's different when you're 6'6" and 120 kilos, all right? Because six.
What is that? What is that in pounds?
Oh, I don't know. It's nearly like, oh, no, 240 pounds.
And maybe six. More. Wow, you're a full foot taller than I am. Wow.
Yeah. So I hit the ground really hard, you know, and
sure.
That's, and also I've got a lot of belly fat on me and stuff like that. So being able to move around and just being able to keep my balance seems to be very, very difficult. But yeah, man, when you're doing it and you're a very, very big guy, when you see a little guy get injured by a big guy, your first reaction is just to go, oh, you know, yeah, poor guy. But when you see somebody the size of me get injured by a little guy, your first honest reaction is, Funny watching me get injured and beaten by these guys, man. You know, you watch those videos back, it's a blast.
When the MMA fights first started, it was, do you remember this, or were you am I dating myself here?
If you've got split personalities and you think you're dating yourself,
they matched up any size fighters. So you had like a giant sumo dude going against like a 160-pound kickboxer. You had one guy actually came out with boxing gloves on. Anyway, do you remember that? When it first started, it didn't matter. There were no weight classes, and it was awesome to watch. I so wish they'd bring that back. So wish they'd do it, because there was this Hoyce Gracie guy. He weighed 156 pounds, 6 foot tall, string bean, right? Going in with 250-pound guys wrestling and wrecking them. Just getting them to tap out within 20 seconds. And I'm sure you're familiar with the Gracies if you're taking jiu-jitsu. I mean, they're the ultimate. Hoyce Gracie.
You'll be surprised how ignorant I am. Gotcha.
That name might have got tossed around the gym before, because I mean,
only thing getting tossed around to that gym is my fat ass. Like, bro,
knock it off. You're in there freaking making the effort too, and you're going to learn and you're going to get stronger. It's good for you. It's good for you. Good on you for doing it too.
Yeah. But in either case, I mean, that's just on one side of things, because for the last 14 years, I've been focusing on my mind, my mouth, and my business, and what I'm actually going to kind of do to make money and what have you. And then I just realized that I was just neglecting my body. You know, I just wasn't putting it through its paces like I was putting the rest of myself through its paces. So it became basically, you know, you've got to do something. And I was lucky enough to know Steve, and I basically bartered live streaming my lessons and in exchange for the lessons being free. So I probably wouldn't pay to go to a gym or something like that. I just like to make content. And this way, while I'm making that content, it keeps me on the straight and narrow, and make sure that I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing and working out and getting the job done. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, indeed. Absolutely. And a big part of that too is, I mean, you're familiar with Wallach and Youngevity and other products. I mean, there's GMN certified products. You have to look for that without a doubt, that are out there that can help you heal. And at my age, I mean, okay, I'm 49. So I'm like a click away from 50. Crazy how quick time goes, Vinny. But digressing again. Making sure to heal myself and take the proper nutrition is everything. I am not sure if we're going to do a break or not. Usually we do one every half hour, but it doesn't sound like it's coming on, so we'll just power on through.
Well, I did have a joke here as well, because in MMA, you're usually taught to fight people who are the same size as you or larger than you. And it's different for me because I'm much larger than everybody, you know, by a significant margin. And so I thought about creating a new course called Big Man MMA, where you teach big guys how to fight guys who are much smaller, you know. Okay, first lesson, small guy over there, he's got small man syndrome, he's getting more aggro and stuff like that, he's throwing his little body around. You do your two moves. First, you bop him, and then you stomp him. Big man MMA.
Yeah, now that's crazy. My experience was completely the freaking polar opposite, because I mean, I was 5'6". I fought at like 141 to 147. So basically, the people I had to train against
in the morning.
Right now.
You get some of those late night bare buckle bouts.
Right, I'm more like a middleweight now, maybe light heavyweight. You know, with anyway. Digressing again. Anyway, different experience, but makes you stronger. And you see that, you know, especially in freaking jiu-jitsu, it doesn't matter what size you are. It's all technique. It's all the way you move your body. It's all the way getting your arms and your legs in the right position to stop somebody from attacking. Simple things. And most people, you know, are starting to catch on to some of the simplest things. But a lot don't know this, Vinny, like a simple guard. I'm sure you learned that day one, how to put somebody in a guard with your feet and pull on their necks so they can't get up and punch. That's a basic, you know, but a lot of the population does not know that if they haven't taken a class, or they might know it, but have never actually tried to practice it, because trying to do it and learning it are two different things. Learning it on the fly, it usually doesn't work out as well as it should. So you end up, you know, when you're in that situation, you know exactly what your go-to is. You hook the freaking feet immediately. You grab on the back of the neck and you tuck your chin so you don't get hit. Then you go from there. The first move is don't get hit. What was it, Mr. Miyagi? Best move, no be there.
Well, I think it was like, getting off the topic of martial arts, because it's like, that's what I've been doing just on my main channel now, because if I get one more strike, I'm out. Kind of thing. MMA is not being censored.
Your main
maybe
channel,
videos right? aren't being censored, but
your main channel, one more strike and you're out.
The one, yeah, bro, and, there's this medical misinformation thing.
Nice.
Yeah, it's on YouTube now. Anything that's to do with medical misinformation, basically, if you disagree or have evidence that the WHO or any of this other stuff ain't on point, you can't do that on YouTube anymore. You can't say the V word, you know, otherwise the algorithms get you.
The title. You have to code the title. You in the chat, you have to code what you say in the chat. That's how ridiculous it's gotten. Because I you know, when I got the strikes, both of them for medical misinformation, it was because of the title. I had a chance to interview Judy Mikovits, one of the top scientists of our time. She was considered a genius a year ago. Now she's considered a hoaxer, disinformation. But how you go from one of the top scientists of their time to hoaxer, medical misinformation, vaccine denier. This was the woman who Dr. Fauci stole all her work and manipulated it and used it. Judy Mikovits. The woman has giant lady balls. Giant lady balls. Anyway, so she went from that to that. Are you familiar with Judy?
No.
Judy Mikovits?
No, her lady balls.
I'm sure that there'll be people in the chat that are. I had not heard of her until a few months ago, you know, doing this research about what's going on. But again, it comes down to literally Fauci stole her work and manipulated it. And she was very, very, very adamant about saying it ad nauseum over and over again. This is not a vaccine. This is not, I repeat, stop calling it a vaccine. It is not. They want you to call it a vaccine. It's what's in the movies constantly that saves the day from the zombie apocalypse, which, by the way, is on the CDC website. But I digressed. Stop calling it. It's a gene therapy, period. And they keep wanting to act like it's not. They want to. They completely ignore these types of questions about what a gene therapy is, because it's in the ingredients. And she breaks it down like a top scientist would. In fact, I should be going through my notes to bring it back up since I have you on, but you should definitely reach out to Judy Mikovits, Dr. Judy Mikovits. From the little information I just told you, as far as
I'll get her on the show, bro.
Right.
As far as what could go wrong.
But she said, we got to call it gene therapy constantly and stop calling it a vaccine. Just much like Dane Wigington is so from Geoengineering Watch, is so adamant about saying we have to call it geoengineering and not chemtrails. Chemtrails is that disinformation word. And your average...
Well, sure. Somebody told me that once. They say, hey, Finny, don't use the word chemtrails. It's not accurate. And I go, really, what do you call a trail of chemicals?
Right. And I say the same thing. I mean, it's chemicals and it's a trail. But to somebody who's just trying to... we're probably far past the point of waking people up. I mean, you're either awake or you're not at this point. You're either freaking brain dead.
Have we got another guest, have we?
Yeah, we have Greg Fernandez, author of Gray Stage. What's happening, Greg?
Greetings. How are you guys?
Yeah, I'm somewhat fabulous, borderlining on fantastic, but I'll survive.
Somewhat fabulous. That's awesome, man. I'm glad to hear that. That's great news. Yeah, I'm not feeling so great myself, but that's all right. I'm still here, still breathing. So that's always a good sign.
Yeah. Well, it's like I always say, things could be worse. The world could be run by satanic pedophiles.
And if it is, then we just roll with that too, right?
Yeah, it's like, oh, things are already worse. Well, then what are you worried about? You know?
There goes Vinny confusing us again.
Who's got time to worry, right? No time to worry. So
you're working on your fourth book, correct now?
Yeah, I'm working on the whole voter fraud thing. I know a lot of people are covering it. I think it's very important to continually cover this very important topic. I still come across so many people that just have no idea. They don't even want to look at it. I mean, it's September 11th all over again. John F. Kennedy all over again. There's no voter fraud, nothing here. But then they'll talk to me about how there's been voter fraud. They don't say that there wasn't voter fraud back in 2000, but all of a sudden there's no voter fraud, as if we've never had, you know, the problems are fixed. Somehow they're all fixed now. But I think you guys obviously know better. I'm sure many people watching this, listening to this, they all know much, much better. So my goal is just to document it. I've made videos. The videos are getting pulled. There's a person, Colonel Phil Waldron, every time that I post a video about him, it's just him just basically saying what he's found. Those videos get pulled. I got two strikes. I have a Voter Fraud 2020 YouTube channel that's already has two strikes on it already.
We were just talking about whatever.
Man, I'm just like, you know what? They're going to have to burn this book. Yeah, we're going to go back to good old-fashioned book burning very soon. So
why not?
I'm ready for that. Why not?
For you.
Why not?
Yeah, good things happen when that happens.
It can't get any worse.
And Greg, doesn't it seem as if it's so obvious? I mean, you have people from all over the country talking about 10,000 ballots here, 100,000 there, eyewitnesses, and then you hear nothing about it. It's almost like we were talking about the geoengineering or the chemicals that they spray in the air, which are chemtrails. But say, it's so obvious that they can put that in our face, right? Being chemically assaulted every day by barium, strontium, aluminum, desiccated red blood cells, mold spores, and whatever else they want to throw in there. A little corona, shake it up. Shake it up like a martini, put a little olive on it. Anyway, you know what I mean? I mean, they get away with that. So, I mean, right. It's so obvious. I mean, you got this guy coming out. He doesn't even know where he is. You know what I mean? I mean, just stumbles from the first word of his first time addressing the nation. Yeah. The first word, he stumbles. Crazy,
it's horrible.
Right?
It's horrible to watch, man.
Right. I mean, this is, it's insane, but it's obvious. Just like the mask thing's obvious. Does it seem, I guess my question to you, and then I'll let Vinny roll and let him freaking pick your brain. But is it almost, it almost seems like it's planned, like it's purposely, like they have to tell us, the Illuminati have that thing where they have to tell you what they're doing before they do it. Is this what they're doing with this voter fraud? I mean, because this is the most obvious thing ever.
Yeah, I do think that that's part of their power. Part of their power is to make sure that they do tell us. And so getting us to talk about it, to be scared about it, really. Nothing wrong with talking about it, but to be scared about it, to be angry, to do something not rash, I guess, basically, is their plan to do something violent. But that's how they obviously get their power. This has been going on for a long, long time. I'm still learning about all of these things. But, you know, I don't want to give them too much credit, but we definitely have to point this out. So I'm glad you guys are here pointing that stuff out, because it is very, very, very relevant, and people just cannot be scared of Nutella.
Yeah, and also in New Zealand, we had the same Dominion voting machines.
Oh, geez.
Well, not machines per se. We don't use machines. We use paper ballots, and we're of course assured that it's impossible that we could ever have a staged election or something like that. Even though there was like a list of 15 things that have, like, for all intents and purposes, never happened in a New Zealand election in terms of turnout. But I'm looking into this situation, and I'm thinking to myself, you know, there is a possibility that there's a fraud going on here. Absolutely. There's also a another thing, the contributing factor is the amount of propaganda that comes out over the mainstream media to influence that vote. You know, it's like Mark Twain said, if voting made any difference, they wouldn't let us do it. And all respect to Mark Twain, if voting couldn't make any difference, they wouldn't make such an effort to confuse us.
Mm. Very good point. Absolutely.
It is. And Greg's very familiar with me freaking losing it on the left, right.
but further on that.
At least you're balanced, son.
You were talking about how the they have to kind of announce what they're doing. They have to show us what they're doing. And I was thinking, you remember back in the day when Alex Jones got simultaneously deplatformed off of Twitter and YouTube and Facebook, right, all on the same day? And the first instinct that came to my head is, this is a beta test. If they can do that to him and get away with it, more importantly, without too much public backlash, then they've got the green light to do it to everybody. Now, theoretically, I'm not 100% sure because I haven't looked at the evidence of the voter fraud in the United States. But theoretically, if the voter fraud in the United States was absolutely 100% locked down, that's real, it's beta test. Because if we can rig this election, we can rig any election.
Anything.
Interesting.
We're going to rig the election and put up a gigantic barbed wire freaking fence all the way around it and have 20,000 troops surrounding
it. That's so weird. What is
too. I mean, that's and at first, you know, there were some people that were holding on to that hopium. A lot of us were, even ones that were like, we know what's up, but we still, a part of us wanted to believe that, you know, that this was going up because they were going to be put in prison. The Q drops indicated that type of thing, that this right. And then the dates just keep going. March 4th passed and then the next day passed and trust the plan. And any day now he's going to be in.
Right. Yeah. It's just, Jesus is coming. You're going to get raptured and you won't have any tribulation or huge quantities of suffering. No. It's just going to save you and stuff like that. Where's that written? Well, it's nowhere, but just believe us anyway. Cause that way you can just sit there, do nothing will important people develop their plans for the world.
That's exactly what I said.
That's exactly
you did nothing. The vote for Biden. Yep, the most freaking people voted for this guy in history. In history, right?
In history.
And guess what? Because of what happened at the Capitol, perfect deflection, by the way. Well played, New World Order. By that little thing that happened at the Capitol, which shut everything down afterwards. So everybody, notice none of the militias were there, by the way. None of them. There were no national stand down for the militias. They knew it was going to happen.
Exactly.
They knew exactly what was going to happen.
So smart.
That happened. They can erect the freaking giant barbed wire fence and bring all the troops in and put everything into place that they wanted to put into place. And these people that are still trying to support that something's going to change and Trump's going to make a comeback and he's going to do it, they're doing, and a lot of these people knew what they were doing. Okay. They're doing people a very big disservice by selling that hopium to people. And these are some big channels like the X2 report, channels of this nature, Dave Hodges. I go on and on, but there's channels that just,
well, it's screams of integrity. All right. Journalistic integrity, our integrity sells for very, very little. It can take you a life. It can take you a lifetime to build a reputation as having some kind of integrity, and it can be smashed to pieces and gone immediately with just one action. And, you know, being not an archonist, not a controller, I'm an anarchonist. I don't want to have a ruler. I want to have rules, just no rulers. when people call for some kind of a political savior and they think that that's all that they need to do, they don't need to change themselves, they don't need to change their daily life, they don't need to know when their city council meetings are being held or where or what they're talking about this week. They don't have to go there, they don't have to write down what they're saying, they don't have to research the councillors and find out who they're connected to, they don't have to call them out in the middle of joint sessions and things of that nature. No, just watch another YouTube video, bro. Eat popcorn, okay? We've got this all sus. It's sus, bro. Just sit back. Be a spectator.
You know? Saw that in season saw real good. But they put out a guy.
It just hurt me in my brain places.
Trump represented. It was a good, almost like too well orchestrated, like against the mask. It's the virus is a hoax for the Second Amendment. But these are things that, you know, these are basic. Oh, so you're for basic constitutional rights. Since when is that supposed to be acceptable that you're just anyway? But again, I would have loved to be wrong. I've said that to so many people in the last year that I want to be wrong. So I've never wanted to be wrong so much in my life, man.
Oh, man, the day that happens, I'll be like, hey, baby, there's no room for criminal sociopathic scumbaggery in charge of the planet. Let's take the baby to McDonald's. Yeah, we'll celebrate. Let's go to Disneyland.
Yeah, yo. Jamie, can you hear us? Are you? I see the Jamie from the Rocker Dyers, who's been interviewing so many legendary people in the rock and roll world in the last few months. What's happening, brother?
G'day, Vinny, from across the pond. You're my neighbor, and we still classify you guys as Australians, even though you are in New Zealand. Don't hold that against me, but...
No, yeah. Don't worry. The Australian Constitution specifically states that New Zealand is the seventh state of Australia and we never actually achieved independence.
Over the Western Hemisphere, we get you guys mixed up all the time. It doesn't matter. I did it at the start of the show.
Well, you know how Canadians hate being called American. You know?
Yeah, that's
right. Take off.
Vinny, first and foremost, I want to congratulate you on being a father now and whatnot. As a matter of fact, your daughter's name is exactly the same name as my sister, but it's spelt with two L's, my sister. Your daughter is with one L. So
my daughter is Alina, and your sister is Alina.
Yeah, Alina with two L's, yeah.
Yeah, those New Zealanders, they're wacky, huh?
They got the best water, though, for sure.
It's like you
got
to take a name like Tanya.
Exactly.
And make it
that's why the Chinese confiscated all that water.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, good.
But I want to say something, guys. I was on Triple M Radio last night on the night shift. It's a major radio station here in Australia. And there was a topic about should public schools, like primary schools, educate students consensual sex, basically teaching the students how to say no against females when it comes to sexual nature, because there's a report that just been made up right now that boys are sexually active as young as the age of 9. Now,
jeez.
What if they're going through a sex change? How does that play into the whole equation?
Yes.
Just curious, asking for a friend.
Well, Vin, you know about this. There's a huge talk in Australia right now, especially in politics, with the respect for women not getting the right type of leeway or the right type of criminal defense when they get sexually assaulted or sexually abused or whatever it shall be. I came on the show on Triple M last night and I said, okay, I'm a guy that was through domestic violence for 15 years as a child. I was a child husband. Basically, I became the leader of the family at the age of 7, especially on Mother's Day in 1987, when my dad beat up my mother on Mother's Day, and I had to drag him off my mother and get my mother into a refuge. Well, that's how we were on the radio. And when I was 15, that's when my life changed, because I was sitting down eating lunch because I was playing competitive foot. As you guys know, I play rugby and I play all that type of jazz.
But yeah, how big are you, Jamie? We were just, I was talking with Vinny. He just got into mixed martial arts and yes. 6'6", 250. How do you compare? We're doing like dun dun dun. Well, Al.
well, Jamie's gonna. He's going to run or end around, and here comes Vinny Eastwood from the tight end position.
No.
I need somebody to do summer all. I'm doing Madden.
If I look at Vinny, if he played rugby, he would be like a winger or a center. He'll have a lot of speed. Where if you look at a person like me, I'll be like a front rower.
What's your size, though? How tall? Give us your stats.
Okay. Well, with rugby?
Yeah, you should put your camera on, too. Your camera's on. Are you doing that for the bandwidth?
Yes, I've got good bandwidth.
Okay, we'll give it a try. If we start losing you, then you can take it off again.
Yeah.
See, that? These would be the two tackles on my football team right here. yeah, one side. Jamie on the other.
Yeah.
Hand me the ball, I'll run as fast as I can.
Yeah. I just want to finish it up on this, and I'll let you guys go for it.
My bad.
That's okay. I'll just finish up and I'll let you guys back to it. When I was 15, my life changed forever. It was the day that my dad went to the claw hammer out of his toolbox and he went to charge my mother with the claw hammer.
Wait, say that again. I didn't catch that. Went into the what?
His toolbox.
Went in the toolbox. Got it.
A toolbox to get his claw hammer. I was sitting down in a dinner table eating my lunch. In the corner of my eye, because there was an argument between my mother and father over a phone bill that wasn't paid. And one thing led to another, and my dad went to his tool box to get the claw hammer.
And the corner went, what?
Yeah, wow, he wants, like, my dad was an alcoholic. He always goes down to the local water hole.
Go get the hammer to go after me.
Yeah.
Wow.
But, what I'm trying to say is that day when I was 15, I saw my dad go for the hammer and charge for my mother. I got off the chair, grabbed my father around the scruff of his neck, and I threw him up against the wall. And I said, if you don't put that hammer down, I'm going to kill you. Because I was a child husband. I was a protector of my mother. I've supported her for all those years.
Oh, hold on, Jamie. Go back. So what happened after that?
So that's what I'm going to.
You got 43 in the chat room over here in Vinny's room, and about 40 in Rev Radio going, like they want to know what happened next.
All right. So what I was leading into that. So what happened after that? My mother got a divorce. Now,
No. Like after you slammed against the wall and said you're not going to use that hammer, what happened next?
He was saying, "You want to kill me, dude? You're my son." I said, "I've been going through this for 15 years."
So you woke him up. He had a crisis of conscience at that point and realized that he was going insane. Got it.
His main focus, his main statement was, my mother deserves this violence. She deserves it.
Now, you're going to take this and circle back to, we're going to go ahead and circle back. That's an inside joke to be circled back. Great press secretary, though. Anyway, digressing again. So you're going to circle this back. We're going to circle back, Jamie. Sorry.
You're just clawing your way in there, bro.
It's like 10 circle backs in 5 seconds.
Good timing on that. Anyway, Jamie.
He floats like a butterfly. That's great.
You were related to the story to pedophilia or child abuse, right?
Well, not really.
What I'm
trying to say is that when it comes to respect for women and whatever it is, whether it's a sexual assault or harassment, yes, I don't condone it. But at the same token, I think that when there's a law made, right, a law, a federal law made, not state law, federal law, it should both run on both sides of the spectrum.
What is this federal law? This is in Australia?
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
what is it? What is it?
I'm not just talking about Australia. I'm talking about around the world. What should happen?
What's the law, though, the federal law?
Okay. The federal law means that, like, right now, they are pushing for more protection for the females when they get into a domestic violence situation, when they get into a sexual abuse, when they've been raped, or what, so forth. Yes, they should be protected. But here's my argument. Why don't they talk about violence on men? Yes, there are women out there that are violent to men. Yes, there are women out there that rape men and sexually assault men. But why isn't that being brought up?
That's interesting. Somebody who's like a giant like you plays rugby would say that. I mean, unless they're pulling out a dangerous weapon. I mean, that's, and if you really want to talk about that, then we can talk about the fact that more men are raped than women every year. This is a fact because of prisons. We'll come back on the other side on the truth. In 2 and 2, live with Vinny Eastwood. Greg Fernandez, Jamie.
Yeah. On the other side of the prison rape conversation.
Prison rape, right. Prison rape. Thank you, Jamie.
Always classy here on Revolution Radio.
Listen to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Be evasive.
But that doesn't mean that they're telling the truth as opposed to fiction.
And Genesis chapter 6, verse 4, and there were giants in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came and unto the daughters of men, indicating that there were giants before the Nephilim.
And sons of God, plural. They weren't talking about Jesus coming down.
No, that's right.
I'm Steve Crawford, host of Factor Theory Live. Join me every Sunday night from 10 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Check it out.
Transcending time and space, let us take you to the place inside your mind where thoughts divide and mysteries unwind. Join us every Monday evening right here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, and you will catch The Fenton Perspective with our great host, Lorian Fenton. Come listen in as she shares her amazing stories from the past to present, along with all of her guest secrets to the future. That's The Fenton Perspective every Monday evening right here from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, only on Revolution Radio. Oh, and you don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm, as expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
If you think for one second that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourselves. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is kept. watching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio. All right. Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
Believe in the Lord and we will last forever. Jesus prayed to those that are so clever. A man shall leave, the lies become disease. That's why the shit talk will never get to me. Two words spoken out of disrespect. Think I care about money? Let's make a bet. I put my life down without selling my soul. Why you begging for money like a stripper dancing on a pole? Can you see? I'm prepared for what may happen. You're too old and fat to even think about scrapping. Be on your knees, you'll never be free. The First Amendment is my constitution degree. Hoping for fortune and fame. You got no game in the game. Down in the dirt, bitch, what's my name? Spit for you and the sentinels of my crew. We got terabytes of lies on you, Illuminati move. Satellite image and tracking, geoengineering proof. You wanna go to war? Prepare for extinction too. I follow the words of wise prophets in the Bible, sending love to everyone, even my rivals. You against the First Amendment, the ability to say what you see. You're shitting on every single patriot in the land of the free. Recognize the words of the symbols of truth. Come at us hard, well, we coming for you. We will expose this motherfucking note. Give it up with your early dementia. Trying to remember your last rip-off venture. Bring it on, give it all that you got, bitch. At the end of this story, you'll be laying in a ditch. Rockefeller, Soros, Clinton, and Bush too. The sentinels of truth, we will push on through.
Back live on Revolution Radio, the number one listener subscribed radio station in the world. Keep Free Radio Live. I'm live with Vinny Eastwood, Greg Fernandez, Jamie McNichol. We're talking all kinds of topics tonight. We're going all over the board. I wanted to revisit, you had mentioned Alex Jones and how they just threw him off now. And have you seen him lately? First of all, he's rebranded himself as more of a comedian who tells truth. Much like some of the great comedians that we've followed over time. And no, I do not think he's, what's that dude's name? The people that they say that is, that's him.
Bill Hicks. Bill Hicks.
Right. But he's hilarious. I mean, it begs the question. You've heard people say that it was all by design because it will make him blow up. I disagree. I mean, is that why they did it to David Icke and Max Egan too? I mean, come on, man. But you got through it. It's hard to imagine the amount of. Can you imagine sitting there? I mean, we both, all three of us,
if you talk about that sandbox, see how I use those terms so you don't get another strike. And I won't expand too much on this because we're not allowed to talk about that or Vinny's station. Right. He's taking a sip of water. Don't say it, Eric. But I mean, what he went sitting in a court deposition about that. And yeah, he did backpedal. But we don't know what he was going through. We don't know if they said, you know what? Yeah. Do you value your wife and your kids and their kids and their grandkids? Cause we're going to make sure your generation is done. We're going to, we don't know what he was pressured into, but he's doing a great job of just bouncing around now, randomly showing up and speaking truth and making people laugh, which, that's pretty much Vinny's forte. That's what we do over here. I mean, if you want to be all serious and uptight constantly, then that kind of sucks. You gotta live and have some fun sometimes, and also laugh so you don't cry. It's a strange world we're living in. Looking at the chat, Vinny's chat, I see. Yep, some women are abusive. Sure, I mean, but if they go to that level of using a weapon or a gun, I probably deserved it. I probably did something to deserve it. Anyway, Jamie, you still there? Because I'm going to, as always, I'm going to slightly disagree a bit. Because women are, in general, as far as in a physical manner, bitches. I don't know. Maybe it's just a kid in me going back and kind of giggling about women beating men up. But what we probably should be talking about is men beating women up, where we have all these rules passed where men can compete with women. Yep. And they're setting all kinds of records. Did you guys see this? This dude who's doing MMA, who identifies as a female, who's going through her change, has busted, completely shattered 3 women's skulls so far. You guys seen this?
Yep.
Shattered. These women look like they're in a Walking Dead movie. After they got ate by the zombie, just bloody, ridiculous basketball. It doesn't matter. You name it. What sports? What a disservice they're doing. Where are the feminists up in arms about this? You know what I mean? I mean, if you're a true feminist, then why would you allow? I mean, this dude's going to go through and smash these people. Hulk smash. Have you seen this movie?
I've heard of this. And also there was another guy who was like 600th of the world in like the men's 100 meter sprint. And then he had a change, and then he got number one in women's, and
right.
And just recently the US military, has said that, hey, look, we've got to do something about this. The women can't do the physical training as much as the men can. 10% of men wash out because they can't physically do it, and right. 65% of the women wash out because they can't physically do it.
There are some elite women who can do that. I mean, we've seen in the MMA. I'd love to see somebody like Ronda Rousey get in with this clown and do that. But, I mean, again... how can this be allowed where a man just coming in and smashing skulls? Screw your pronouns, man, woman, whatever you are. It's whatever you have between your legs, that's what you are, which is a man. And you're going in and freaking beating women to a pulp to the point where you're smashing their skulls. So screw your pronoun.
Yeah.
Right there.
I can go and I can smash women's skulls to a pulp, but you have to call me by my correct pronoun, okay?
Women's hurdles.
Don't want to break a fingernail, would you?
Right. Women's sprints, basketball, you name it. As long as you're going through that change.
Well, hold on. Is there some bad background sound there? Is that coming out of you, Jamie? Is it raining there or something?
No. I don't know. I am hearing
TV. Back when I grew up, at the end of the Greg, remember this? Like it got to be like 3 in the morning, and all you had was static on the TV because you
only had
3 channels to choose from. That's what it sounds like. let me meet you real quick, Jamie, and see if it's definitely. Oh, no.
Is it me? Let me try. Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely Greg.
It was Greg.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's hear from Greg then, because I was just wanted to actually get into, because I want you to give me just a big download, Greg, about what actually is the evidence to suggest that the election in the United States was stolen. Because I find it very hard to suspect that the American population would suddenly just lose trust and respect and admiration for somebody who's a narcissistic, psychopathic billionaire with close ties to Israel. I just didn't see that coming.
Okay, well, first let's make sure that my audio is okay. Is that all right?
Yeah.
It's okay?
Yep, he's good.
Okay.
Just not when other people are speaking.
Weird. Okay. All right. So I'll mute myself when other people are speaking. So, yeah, obviously there is so much voter fraud here. I've only gone through the hearings, the public hearings, five of them so far. There are plenty of public hearings that I still need to actually go through. And what I wanted to do was basically just try to document all of the evidence of where somebody says that there was fraud. We're talking about people that were actually there. What the actual numbers are, these voting machines that were not supposed to be online that ended up being online. We have votes that this one lady, Susan Voyle, I think her name was, she basically said, and she was a manager for a precinct, so she's counting these votes. She's looking at these votes. She saw about 90 votes all looked exactly the same, exactly. The feel, she basically said, okay, if you feel a dollar bill, you kind of know if it's real, you know, if it's fake. These were all basically copied. So they took one vote, scanned it 90 plus times, copied it. So that's one thing. You have many of these people who are challengers, who were basically told that they could not challenge any of these votes. First of all, they couldn't even see those votes. So that's a big, big deal there. And these were GOP people. So you do have, when you go and you're challenging votes, you have a placard. So they're going to know if you're a Democrat or if you're a Republican very, very quickly. So obviously the Republicans were being treated very, very differently. They used COVID as a big reason to pull off this fraud. Now, the fraud is not with the people who showed up, not with the people who regularly vote. It's with the people who were doing the mail-in votings, where the numbers were not adding up. We're talking they had evidence of fraction of votes. And Colonel Phil Waldron was saying, how do you have a fractional vote? Either if I vote, that's one vote. That's it. How do you have a fraction of votes? Well, those videos are being wiped completely. So all of that's being documented. We're talking about thousands of people who have shown up to testify. Still thousands more to really go through. So what my book is going to do is just pretty much document all of what these people say. Whether people think that they're crazy or that they're lying or blah, 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 whatever you want to think, this is what they say from the people that were actually there who had gone through voter fraud. Lots of evidence.
Shouldn't there at least be a freaking hearing or a congressional meeting
there,
about this?
There
again,
were hearings.
I said it at the start of the show, it almost seems like it's so obvious that they're putting it in your face and say, what are you going to do? Here, we got a big fence up with barbed wire and 20,000 troops. What's it going to do?
The whole thing is what they're basically saying is that what we need is to audit the digital data. What the Democrats and the people who don't think that there is any voter fraud are saying, if you recount these votes, you see they all add up. Yeah, if you recount a fraudulent vote, you're going to come up with a fraudulent number. If you actually can get into these digital devices, you can actually figure out which votes are fraudulent and which votes are not. One other thing that they did find that I found fascinating too is that these the voting tabulators can calculate about 20,000 votes per every 60 minutes, okay? So they found huge spikes where there were hundreds of thousands of votes that were being calculated within 8 minutes. That's not possible. Things like that, these big, big spikes. Now, the voting was supposed to stop at a certain time. The voting did not stop. The voting kept on going. There were people that were told to date things, right? You can't, a ballot cannot be dated past November 2nd, okay, maybe November 4th. There were people that were being told to date these votes that were coming in into the digital data to date them as a different date. So whereas, it had to come in by a certain time in your state, Eric, it had to come in by 8. Any vote past that could not count. So these people were dating them. Instead of dating them November 4th, they were dating them on the 2nd. While they were coming in, you have thousands of votes that were dated 1/1/1900. Well, shit. So we're talking about people that are, we're talking about people that are over 100 years old here voting? No, that's not possible. There were many people that they called. There was a company, a fact check, real fact checkers, they called to see if these people actually voted. And they were saying, I did not vote. I cannot vote. I'm a felon. I cannot vote.
But somebody Facebook voted fact for checkers already checked it, Greg, and they already said it's false. So
correct. Correct.
There's no court here. This is pretty, Vinny, would you agree? This is pretty overwhelming evidence.
That's just the tip of the iceberg too. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And here's the thing. This is how it works in terms of dirty politics, is you get people who are really, really aggro, all right? And once they get all their aggression out on you, you, as a reasonable voter, as an ordinary person, will want to turn off and stop listening to the conversation. And there's also the whole, I'm not sure if there's a phenomenon named after it, but sore loser syndrome or something like that, which people think that if you're questioning a voter thing, oh, you must just be a sore loser. Biden won. Ha ha. It's like the most mature responses you get out of these people I've ever seen in my freaking life. And the problem with it is that people don't actually want to look too far into the evidence because there's a consequence to that. Once you know, if you've added up and you've dotted the I's and crossed the T's, you know that your current president is a fraud, right? That you under the control of a foreign entity that is in control of your president, that's going to frighten a lot of people. And a lot of people will automatically make that assumption in the first place and turn away out of fear, okay? And I think that's an interesting dynamic that we're dealing with now, is the information is quite scary and it takes a lot of courage to look into it, but there are too many people who do not have that courage and don't want to see it because they fear the consequence. They might actually have to do something about it.
Indeed. Jamie, you want to jump in?
Yeah, I just want to ask Greg Fernandez a question. I know there was voter fraud. There's no dispute about that. But the question I want to ask, why didn't the courts around the states of America took an account of the evidence? Yes, they had the sworn affidavit by the witnesses that was working as a poll reader or whatnot. Why didn't the court look at the evidence that was presented, like the hard evidence? All
is
they
that
want
a rhetorical question?
Yeah. Because listen, when you come up to a court when you're looking for fraud, you want concrete evidence, right? Concrete evidence to prove that it was fraud. We can't dispute that it
like
was
Greg's
not fraud.
Presenting. Ad nauseum. Yeah, we're not you go on all night.
No. I get that. But we can't, we're not disputing that there was no fraud, right? That's been documented. Yes,
Facebook is, and every major media outlet is, including the one that's supposedly for the right, Fox.
Right. But when you had Will Burr saying there was no evidence saying there was significant voter fraud, and had all these other dummies in the Democrats saying there was no solid evidence, why didn't the court, like the Republican, hold the Supreme Court?
Again, rhetorical question, because they're part of it.
Of course they are.
Right. Yeah, it's like, but why would lying psychopaths lie and be psychopathic? I just don't understand. You
pedophile to like to eat babies because they makes them young. Who worship demons called Moloch? Why would they do that? You go to Bohemian
That's
Grove
a good Alex Jones.
Once a year and run around naked with other dudes and worship a big owl. And sometimes they go into this little crypt and they do weird stuff in there and coffins. And anyway, where is this lit?
Well, Vinny basically said it right. They don't look at it. So what the courts did is they just said we're not going to hear this case. That's basically it. They just won't look at it, so they don't have to do something about it. I think Vinny summed it up very well.
La 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 la. I mean, it's the what? There's thousands of people coming forward to voter fraud. La la la. Right? I mean, that's, oh my goodness. I mean, it seems like it's right in our face. They're doing it on purpose, and the American people are doing nothing. In fact, most of the rest of the world is looking at us going, they are so stupid. You see ginormous protests all over the world right now. In Germany, New England's Britain, here. We're just sitting waiting to be told what to do next.
Yeah, well, they say fluoride makes you apathetic, but who cares?
Yeah, so basically the courts just never, you know, they would go and say, "Hey, we want you to hear this case." The courts would say, "No, we're not going to hear it." So that's why all of these states, you know, a lot of states, they started holding their own hearings for us. So that way we can get those facts out there. And it's very important for us to document those, but it's very important for us to make sure it doesn't go down a memory hole, because that's what I'm seeing happen on my channels, on my Facebook channel, you know, all that stuff. So I just decide, you know what, I'm just going to write it all down. And I'm sending you information
from Michigan. I mean, there's so much. There's so many groups that I'm joined to, Recall Whitmer groups, looking at and people coming forward left and right. So I'll send you everything I have for that book, because that's going to be an important book, which, of course, is going to be banned from Amazon right off the get-go. And Facebook fact checkers are going to say it's false, fake news, fake info, and they're going to kick you off the net for it. But I mean, that's just par for the course. Overwhelming amount of evidence just in the state alone. It's right in your. And here's the thing, Jamie. Your question was, you know, why aren't the courts hearing it? Why aren't the complete right side, the Republicans, up in arms right now and demanding court hearings?
Yeah,
right. They're not. Why is that?
I know the answer to it. I'll just plain dumb. I'll just plain. The audience type of asking questions. I know that there's a lot of corruption in the courts. I know they will favour one side rather than the other. But when you look at politics, and you know this yourself, Eric, they're both two wings of the same bird, and they're both in it together.
It's almost all of them. Right down, you just said it. You know, you have the executive, the judicial, and the legislative, and they are all on it together. The courts won't hear it. Your senators won't hear it. Your governors won't hear it. Right? Your state reps, right down to the mayors. Nobody's. There was a few people who came out to say this is fraud. But shouldn't this? It's an election of the president of the United States of America, the most powerful nation in the world, and all these people are coming forward saying, "Nah, I witnessed this." Not a word from any. Maybe a few of them, but they sure went silent quick, didn't they?
Yeah. Well, this reminds me of a scene from Family Guy, where the deaf kid is trying to rile up the audience in the auditorium. who thinks there's voter fraud? Everybody goes, ah! And he goes, I can't hear you. Who thinks there's voter fraud? Ah! I can't hear you. Who thinks there's voter fraud? I can't hear you. You see, it doesn't matter how loud you say it. It doesn't matter how accurate you are. What was his name? Yuri Bezmenov in the 1980s, interviewed by J. Edward Griffin, he talked about the process of American demoralization. American used to mean something very, very different to what America means now in the common lexicon. And nowadays, people are so demoralized and had their morals so far shifted beneath that you could show them that black is black. You could show them white is white. You can have the best argumentative method in the world, and they are so demoralized that they are unable to see it. They're physically unable to see it. Thus, the process of demoralization is not only complete, but irreversible.
Irreversible. With those people, again, the whole 3% concept here. That's where we're at, especially in the United States. Again, people around the world are pointing fingers and just laughing right now. I shouldn't say they're laughing, because, I mean, they should be sweating, because once the U.S. goes down, we're the final domino to fall. And the whole the ripple effect is beyond belief.
Well, I think it'll be a simultaneous attack. And essentially, treat this pandemic as World War III. Okay, a quiet weapon for a silent war. You want to track and trace the entire population of the world and get them to do it willingly? You want to supersede national borders and have things shut down by international authorities and that completely violate national sovereignty? You want to force people who still have businesses, still have lives, who are still part of the middle class, which are the ones who actually have the time and the resources to see what's going on and do something about it? You want to stop them from being able to do something about it? Yeah. You see, it fills so many beautiful roles that are under this glorious, ever intimate pretext that it's for your safety. All right. And I just want to play you guys a song, if that's okay. Me and the boys, we just worked on this over the weekend. It's called Stay Safe, Be Kind. And it's about everything that we're talking about here. Just give me 1 second and I'll put it on for you.
Stay safe, y'all. Love it. It's a freaking hit.
All right. There we go. We're back.
That's a hit.
Some classic, eh? Well, me and the boys are going to be working on it on Sunday, I think. Gonna go have brunch with my sister and then go and try and do a re-recording of that song, because we don't have the bassist or the drummer in that one. I just layered a whole bunch of vocals. We made it in about 90 minutes or so, I think, because we were rushing. We had to find something for the end title credits for our short film that we were making, and we had to make the film in 48 hours. So we're just like, okay, quick, just do this.
When you remake it, you have three people who will whistle at the end too, if you want to add layers.
Yeah.
It's like a cool Beatles song. Yeah, it's like that was great, man.
So Vinny, really, when you're starting,
it's like a naked Beatles song.
Yeah. So when you're starting up, stop.
When am I starting at Woodstock? I don't know. But in either case, you know, my singing talents and things of that nature, because that's actually like seven or eight different takes of me all playing at the same time, playing in chorus with each other. So when I'm just singing by myself, it's just, it's pretty average.
You going to make an EP beating, or what's your thing you're going to do?
Well, I mean, we want to make music and music videos and movies and do comedy and things like that. But at the moment, it's still possible to tell truth. And the moment it becomes impossible to tell truth, like impossible, then I might start to more favor the other avenues of waking people up that I'm interested in doing.
When you guys finish that, record it, mix it out, please. Send it this way, man.
Well, see, up in Byron Bay every year they have what they call the Blues Festival, and just out on the outskirts of Byron Bay, there's a hippie farm where they sell a lot of marijuana and whatnot. Vinny, I suggest you go over there, mate. You'll be waking up a huge people over there.
Well, theoretically, but of course, the Trans-Tasman bubble is going to be open in a couple of days, and the Trans-Tasman bubble, by the way, is not a venereal disease unique to our part of the world, just in case you're asking. Now, the thing about it is, when we're talking about music and waking people up and touring and what have you, that means that I would have to spend a lot of time away from my wife and my baby, and she's under 1 year old now. She's just turned... she's just about 11 months old as of a couple of days ago. So I think on the 12th, of April is when she's going to be officially 1 whole year old, born into lockdown and spent her entire life in it. And in no small part, she will be part of a generation who will know nothing but lockdowns if we don't stop them from happening.
Yeah. But that's the thing too. When you have a newborn, you have a lot of responsibility. You take a lot of thing, and if we're not grounded properly, we're not going to give the future of our next generation, our child, what should become. And no, I will not put any child in danger of what is currently going on right now, because the way the things are, the new generation, then if we don't re-equip with our own education and our own communication and whatever, they are going to be the lost generation if we do not prepare now.
Yeah, Elon Musk and some of the greatest minds, like him or hate him, you know, they've been telling us that this will be the last human generation ever to exist. This would have been about 5-6 years ago, right? When we covered that, Jamie, that this is it. That now, with the virtual reality, the lockdowns, with so much screen time and social distancing time, Vinny, MMA and a newborn. What's your next trick? You gonna swim with sharks? I mean, that's a lot on your. Vinny's next trick. He's gonna go ahead and dive in with a bunch of great white sharks and swim.
Yeah,
Well,
people are like asking me, "Oh my God, Vinny, how can you handle having such a young baby and doing a show and everything?" And I go, "Well, it's simple, really. I close the door to my office, and the wife handles it." You know, and she's a beautiful little girl, you know. She'd be sitting there and she's looking at you and you go, oh, you're beautiful. But then she'll like turn her head or the light will shift or something and she looks like my wife.
Yeah.
Mine are growing out of the house and they're part of the they're part of the last human generation.
Well, you know why you know
you're
why
gonna be part of the resistance though, of course. At your kids, I mean, it's not, you're going to raise them differently. But by that time, it's going to be like Hunger Games time, right?
Yeah. Well, you know why men have a man cave, right? It's because the woman's got the house. And,
and do whatever you want with the bay, with the top of the house, honey. Up there, go ahead. I do whatever I want down here.
One last joke. You know why a wife is so expensive?
Go on.
Because they're worth it.
Vinny better be careful. I'm kind of worried about him. We're here talking about women beating up men. I'm getting a little concerned. Yeah, over here.
As George Carlin said, anything can be funny, even rape, but it just depends where you put the exaggeration. All right. Yeah. And if you think rape can't be funny, picture Porky Pig raping Elmer Fudd.
Yes, I can.
Just watch some Crowder. Watch some Crowder interviews.
Well,
you don't think and it's not, I mean, it's not a funny topic. But man, I don't know. I mean, just it would be hard to go on with my life if I was, you know, completely coherent, not drugged, and raped. I mean, because I'm gonna fight with everything I got. There's gonna be no jiu-jitsu moves. I'm biting. I'm gonna fucking freaking take a bite out of you.
Right.
But yeah. Anyway, you know, and that's just old school band stuff. Still opening car doors for women. You know what I mean? Just doing things. Isn't that just a basic courtesy? Doesn't that show a respect? I mean, where did that go anyway? Go ahead, guys.
At the moment, I am supporting my wife and supporting my baby on an activist budget. All right. Yeah. You know, my wife doesn't have to work if she doesn't want to, if she wants to stay at home with the baby and take care of her, if she wants to go out and get her nails done or her hair done or something like that while I'm taking care of the baby, you know, I'll do it. Because I think that's the way that you treat babies, or at least they're supposed to be treated. They're supposed to have attention all the time from mummy and daddy as much as humanly possible while they're developing. All right. The more attention you pay to them, the better they're going to be.
Unless they have COVID, right? Then you have to, you know, only feed them and see them, lock them in a room.
So far, COVID hasn't been isolated. As far as I know, the only thing that has been isolated are those who are at risk of suicide.
Yeah, that's true. That is definitely true.
And in New Zealand, we have sealed the suicide reporting statistics till 2023, which is incidentally when the next election is going to happen. All right. And it seemed to me, when you're looking at, for example, just this recent New Zealand election, I don't know how the election played out in your neck of the woods, but because of this pandemic, the government was in your face all day, every day about it, and the media was behind them every step of the way, giving them a platform in the middle of an election. That's... Under New Zealand law, we have election laws and things like that. That counts as election advertising, basically, according to our definitions of it. Millions and millions and millions of dollars worth of free election advertising during an election year, all with this thing as the pretext. And people wondered why the current government got a landslide victory, you know?
That's standard over here. I mean, that's all it is he's got the most... You have... I showed that video earlier of Biden, Trump, and Bernie. That's not ludicrous. Those were our three choices to lead this great nation. Okay. Yeah. What?
Well, you mentioned about the election. Western Australia just had an election last weekend, and the Labor Party has basically become the majority party overall because the Liberals only got two seats in the election. So basically, Labor controls the whole state of Western Australia. There's no balance of the opposition. There's no opposition anymore in Western Australia.
It means that they can do whatever they want, and this is how Agenda 21 probably is working in all our necks of the woods. And that's the thing, guys. You realize that I'm dealing with the exact same issues down here in New Zealand that Jamie's dealing with in Australia that you're dealing with in Michigan. You see what I'm saying? It is a new world order. There is no escape from this, and we've all got the home field advantage, so we need to be pushing back this agenda as much as we possibly can on our home fields. And just reading through Behind the Green Mask and talking to Rosa Corey about it, it led me to believe that I don't know as much as perhaps I should. I'm not doing as much as perhaps I should. Like, for example, Eric, do you know where your local city council meets or when they're meeting next? I don't, right? I don't know what they're discussing or anything like this.
So, I do, but I don't know the times and dates they'd meet at City Hall. But there's sure.
Out if you could be bothered. But the fact of the matter is, we just can't be bothered. You know, we're broadcasters. We're sitting there. We're getting all the information out there to people and what have you. It's a full-time job. But when it comes down to the full-on activism, I consider myself to be the backline support troops. Okay, I want somebody else to go down there and do that real work so that I can then get them on radio so that they can explain to the audience how they did it and how they can do it.
Interesting you brought that up, because I can explain that. Jamie was simulcasting as it happened, and it was an interesting scenario where you had three dogs that were left outside their entire lives, and it was record cold here, negative 20s, in a space no bigger than smaller than a cell, like a quarter size. Anyway, we got together, and we had 40 people out there. Some people were wearing masks, some weren't. But this guy was a dirty bastard. He left these dogs out there, freezing cold temperatures, and they have about this much space to run around. As much space from here to the TV. Three of them. And they're beagles, which aren't meant to be. Anyway, long story short, we went out there. There were signs. We had news coverage. We did interviews. This punk that had the dogs wouldn't come outside. He did come outside earlier just to call the police on me. But the police didn't do anything because they knew it was anyway. They took it to the city council, and they had the law amended because nothing could be done for these dogs because under the current language of the law, the dogs were allowed to be out there because they had adequate shelter. Now their shelter was a tube, plastic tube, and a little bit of hay underneath. Now, some things were very obvious. As people like us, we kind of look for the fine tuning type things. The fact there were there was fresh snow and there was no tracks in the snow. I mean, these dogs had been in their cage, little tiny box of a cage for over 48 hours. No tracks. These dogs were clearly being abused. They're out in negative 20 degree weather. Now, you can just do a simple Google search and see that a beagle shouldn't be out for longer than 15 minutes in under 40 degree weather, let alone negative 20. Right. So, I mean, these dogs and people have said they've driven past and gotten upset. This guy was offered houses, dog houses. People offered to take the dogs off his hands. And he just did this, gave the middle finger. So they went to city council and that took way too long to get to the point. But anyway, a bunch of people went to city council, stood up, and the law is being amended. Now, if you have pets, you realize they're like your family. My kids are grown. My two dogs, they're my kids. My cats, they're my kids too. So, that's a way to make a change. And the neatest part about this is that for one day, people were wearing masks, not wearing masks. Pretty even split. Nobody was arguing about that, though. All they were trying to do was save these poor
dogs who are in a prison being abused and could possibly be dying. They came out, Jamie has the footage, and they were shaking. They could barely walk. You know what I mean? They were clearly in distress. And to see animal services come and say that that's acceptable, and you could see the hurt in their eyes, but because the law was written that way, there was nothing they could do. So you go to city council, change the law. Now, if we can do that for our pups, for our animals, you know, is it possible to do that?
That's when you actually care about something. And it's interesting that people care more about animals than they do other human beings at the moment, because we've been so badly dehumanized in every way, shape, or form. I mean, here's the thing. How many times during a Hollywood movie have you seen, for example, a slaughterhouse kill floor or a puppy mill execution floor or something like that versus battles with human beings killing each other left, right, and center, whether it be old school, new school, sci-fi, whatever. All right. So the thing is, we are far more used to cruelty and murder and things like that being perpetrated on other human beings in terms of what we've actually seen portrayed in front of us than we are with animal cruelty. We're still not used to animal cruelty to a large degree, especially not in the West. You know, we love our cats. We love our dogs. You know, it's so full fair. And the thing about it is, you managed to get this law passed, right? For every one law that we pass, I remember Muriel Watts. She's this woman who's sitting on one of the very few panels that were actually looking over herbicides and pesticides regulations worldwide, right? And she said, basically, for every pesticide that was dangerous that they managed to get banned after a period of time, during that time that they were trying to ban that one pesticide, 1,000 more were brought into circulation that were just as bad, if not worse. You see? And I think that's very similar with the legislative frameworks that we're working with. We might go, okay, sweet as, we've solved that one problem there. But meanwhile, while we're focusing on that, 1,000 other little laws have been passed that subvert and destroy and defile everything that it means to be America, everything that it means to be New Zealand, everything that it means to be human.
So it's of the utmost importance now to get out and try to do something.
I also do think that it's not just about the law. You can pass as many laws, but if we don't have people that are enforcing those laws, mm-hmm. As far as the whole voter fraud, that's what basically happened. Is all of the Democrats who were talking about, yeah, you know, we're going to do something about it. All they were talking about was passing new laws, and some of the people who were actually there on the scene were saying, it's not about, we already have law, we already have a whole process.
Yeah, it's like, hey bro, are you saying, it's like, bro, are you saying fraud isn't illegal, you know?
Right, we're gonna get billions for our state, and we're gonna get all that money out in unemployment to our people who are, you know, there's freaking hundreds of thousands of people across the country who haven't received a dime in a year, who lost everything, including their lives in some case. Just to digress just for a second here, the animal thing, though, you know, I mean, serial killers are shown to freaking abuse animals. Animals won't fight back. You know what I mean? They have no chance. They just have to take it. I mean, it's just, and here's something interesting. You know, you hear about cultures, Korean cultures, China, with the dog meat. We've all heard this. There's nothing inherently unhealthy about eating dog meat, right?
So but
it's horrifying to somebody with spirit, with a spirit, or with you know what I mean? Because dogs are a higher level of animal. Am I saying killing animals is cool at all? No, and we're not going to get into that whole thing. But isn't that interesting? There's nothing inherently wrong with doing it, yet other cultures believe that. That they still do it. They still eat dog meat, and they do it under the pretense is there's too many dogs, so they can either euthanize them or we can eat them. That's where we're at. Not sure why I went there. I guess the dog thing, but it's just interesting the way people look at things, you know. And again, to make it perfectly clear, and then I'll pass. We got about 8 minutes to go. My dogs are like my kids. Period. They're family. They unconditional love. You want unconditional love?
Well, Eric, I've got one question to ask.
You got it.
Eric, I've got one question. What is the update on the guide with those dogs like now? Because that's been about a month.
Right now, it's being the law's being amended to where dogs cannot be out under 20 degrees, not negative 20. And so, and it was kind of small because it amended that the dogs had to come in just in time for spring, though. You know what I mean? So those dogs are still going to be in these. I cannot stress enough how tiny. There was three of them, and they were in these from here to the TV and this wide. That was their whole world, and they didn't get to go out and play or do it. There was no love. You could see them when they're hobbling out, and all the people are out there coming and sticking their nose. It was freaking heartbreaking. And the first thing that's going through somebody's mind, maybe this one, is just, you know what I mean? You are a scumbag. Oh no, I know all about dogs. He was a dog expert. He's my dad raised them, and they're fine. Really? They're fine without love? Really? You know, to think that animals don't need love. Anyway, so that's where we're at, Jamie. It was a tiny little small victory. And I think maybe Vinny was kind of pointing out or indicating that even going to your city councils or even farther up, state reps, governments, you're only going to get like a tiny little crumb out of what you really want in the big picture. Is that where you're going?
I think that there's just something inherently distressing to me about going up to somebody else who's got more power than me because I want them to do something for me. Okay, and that's essentially what it is. You're going up to government or state powers or something. I don't have the power to do this. You have the power to do this. Please do this for me. And essentially, when you do that, when you say that, you're giving up your power, right? Immediately. And no, a guy down here in New Zealand, back in the day, we had Child, Youth, and Family Services, the New Zealand equivalent of the CPS. And in CPS, you're 9 times more likely to be sexually abused than you are with your biological parents. And so Dan finds out that there's this pedophile in Glen Innes, and he goes down there, and this guy was renting children out to local pedophiles, doctors, lawyers, judges, police, things like that, out of a garage or garage, as you call it in the United States, in bunk beds. Okay, 8 kids in bunk beds in a garage being rented out to pedophiles. Now, Dan could have gone to the courts. He could have gone to the head offices and things like that, but he didn't. Instead, what he did is he took his Nissan Safari with a winch on the front. He tied the winch around the garage door, and then he ripped it off. And then he took the kids, put them in the car, and then took them down to the office to find new homes for them. That is a man. That is a man who has not abdicated his power and authority to other people. Right. That is a man who saw a problem and solved it himself.
That was part of it. It's interesting you brought that up, because people were asking to take the dogs, and some were saying, I'm just going to go in there and grab them. Nobody did. The problem with that is any of those people were there protesting. So it wouldn't have been hard. How far are you willing to go? You know, because they would get a trespass. The dog would be given back. And again, I like what you're saying. You know what? Now I'm thinking that I should have just taken the dogs. In fact, interesting. Thank you. Coherent thought coming your way, folks. So I was interviewed by 950, and that's one of the largest AM radio stations. And he said, point blank, if he said you could take the dogs with you, would you take them right now? And I unequivocally looked at the camera and said, yeah, I'd take them right now. That was his question. And I wonder how many of the people there were protesting would have done it. I think a lot of them would, mask or no mask. Again, it was great to see a bunch of people come together for a common cause, at least one day where we weren't arguing about mask or no mask. Nobody cared. There was no social distancing. Even if they had a mask or not, it didn't matter. We were here to protest this abuse of these animals. But you make a great point, Vinny. You know, all this work just to get the law changed for the weather, but not cruel and unusual punishment. To get the law changed about that tiny little box that these dogs are living their life in, a little prison pen. Well, so we got a little crumb.
There's an ancient story, Alexander the Great. And we often look at complicated problems as if they've got a complex solution. And it was said long ago that this piece of rope that was tied into this inexhaustibly crazy knot called the Gordian knot in Persia was a symbol of the Persian people and their empire, all right, that you could never unravel them. And it was said that one day would come a man who would unravel that knot and he would rule Persia. So Alexander comes into the town. He sees this knot of rope and he says, so your legend says that if I unravel this knot, I'll be king of Persia. Yeah. And they're like, yeah, yeah. And he goes, okay. And he slices it in half with his sword. Mm-hmm. Okay. Sometimes a little solution is right there. It's right there. It's right there in front of you. And it just takes a little wit and a little action to back it up. So, you know, be not afraid, be not disheartened. Even if things are big and bad and dark and hopeless, solutions, little solutions by little individuals can make huge, huge differences. And don't give up on that idea. And don't ever think for a moment that your own meager contribution doesn't make a difference, because it does. And it's the only thing that has ever made a difference.
What
it's
a great
one person
stuff.
Deciding it must be so.
There's the bumper music. What a great way to finish out. Thanks, Vinny. We have to get together more often, and I need that song.
Listening to Revolution Radio.
What the heck is the Truth Jihad? Hey, I'm Kevin Barrett, host of Truth Jihad Radio. Federal prosecutors, Department of Homeland Security agents, and curious passersby often ask me, just what is this Truth Jihad thing anyway? Well, everybody knows what truth is, but jihad is a misunderstood term. Jihad means effort or struggle. The greater jihad is the struggle to be a better person, while the lesser jihad is the struggle to defend the community. Prophet Muhammad, peace upon him, did say that the best jihad is a word of truth flung in the face of a tyrant. And that's what we do here at Truth Jihad Radio. Every Friday, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, 5 to 7 Pacific, right here on Revolution Radio.
Hey everyone, it's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Revolution Radio.